Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
U.S.-China tensions rise over House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's plans to visit Taiwan. And the Justice Department is challenging two mergers, one in healthcare, the other in publishing. What they tell us about the Biden administration's focus on antitrust enforcement.
Both cases are bringing forward legal theories that we haven't necessarily seen before. Despite them being part of decades-old antitrust law, it really shows that the Biden administration is going to be keeping a close eye on these mergers.
Plus, parents are trying to make up for time lost during the pandemic by spending away. It's Monday, August 1st. I'm Anne-Marie Hertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is planning to visit Taiwan during her tour of Asia this week. That's according to a person familiar with the matter who says Pelosi will meet with officials, including some from Taiwan, Tuesday evening and Wednesday. China has warned the U.S. against such a visit. Beijing has claimed the democratically self-governed island as its own. Secretary of State Antony Blinken was asked about the visit during an appearance at the United Nations earlier today.
If the speaker does decide to visit and China tries to create some kind of crisis or otherwise escalate tensions, that would be entirely on Beijing. We are looking for them, in the event she decides to visit, to act responsibly and not to engage in any escalation going forward.
Pelosi arrived in Singapore earlier today with four other Democratic members of Congress. The trip includes high-level meetings in Malaysia, Japan, and South Korea, according to a statement issued by her office on Sunday, which did not mention Taiwan. U.S. factory growth slowed last month and was at its weakest in 2 years, with fewer orders coming in, according to the latest surveys of purchasing managers. But in a positive sign, the ISM index and a report from S&P Global indicate that supply constraints are easing and inflationary pressures are starting to show signs of cooling. Still, there are concerns about a global economic slowdown. The U.S. economy shrank in each of the last 2 quarters. Kentucky is bracing for more severe storms today as the search continues for survivors of the worst flooding in the state's history. At least 35 people have been killed, and Governor Andy Beshear said hundreds of people are still missing. President Biden approved a disaster declaration for Kentucky last week to aid recovery efforts. And in Northern California, the McKinney wildfire has burned more than 55,000 acres. Governor Gavin Newsom declared a state of emergency in the area on Saturday as extreme heat and strong winds continue to stoke the flames. Other states are also battling wildfires this season. In Montana, officials say a fire in Elmo nearly tripled in size over the weekend. And in Idaho, officials continue to fight the Moose Fire, which began on July 17th. Coming up, two antitrust cases in two industries, what they tell us about the Biden administration's priorities and what they could mean for future tie-ups. That's after the break.
Join the Wall Street Journal at the Future of Everything Festival on May 21st to 23rd in New York City, where diverse global newsmakers share unique perspectives on navigating a changing world. Immerse yourself in live performances, explore pioneering technologies, and indulge in the city's inventive culinary scene. As a podcast listener, enjoy 20% off current ticket rates with code PODCAST. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.
Two merger trials, one in the healthcare industry and the other in publishing, are now underway in Washington, D.C. At issue are big acquisitions, each valued at billions of dollars. In one case, United Health Group is seeking to acquire health technology firm Change Healthcare in what would be a $13 billion deal. The publishing case involves two of the industry's largest companies. Penguin Random House is seeking to acquire Simon & Schuster for nearly $2.2 billion. Both deals are being challenged by the Biden administration, which has been more aggressive in bringing cases against M&A deals it believes will suppress competition. Joining me now with more on these cases and what's at stake for the administration is Wall Street Journal National Legal Affairs reporter Erin Mulvaney. Hi, Erin. Thanks for being here.
Hi, happy to be here.
Let's start with some more details about each of these cases. How similar and different are these proposed deals? Can you give us some more specifics on each?
What's similar about the deals is that the Biden administration is flexing its muscles in these cases to bring legal theories. Other than that, they're quite different. The Penguin Random House case, where they're trying to acquire Simon & Schuster, is a classic example of a big player trying to buy another big player. And then what we're going to see in the healthcare case is actually a major behemoth healthcare company that has many different functions trying to acquire a company called Change Healthcare, which does a lot of things for the healthcare industry. Most notably in this case, they collect data and does financial analytics and things like that for healthcare companies. So in both cases, the Justice Department is bringing different arguments.
So tell us a bit more about those arguments. What exactly is the Biden administration challenging in each case?
In the publishing case, the department argues that the merger is actually going to hurt authors who get large advances and these best-selling authors, incidentally, including Stephen King, who will be on the government's witness list. So by reducing the number of publishing houses that compete for this work, that will lead to less competition and therefore lead to less options for consumers. So the reason that's a legal theory that is pushing the envelope a bit is while it's part of antitrust law, the idea of going after the labor force, in this case, the best-selling authors, is outside typical cases that we see. In the United case, the department is arguing that the United Healthcare's acquisition would give this major big company access to sensitive industry data that could be used to harm competitors by basically having access to all of Change's data. And so that one is more novel in this case because it is not what we call horizontal. It's a more vertical argument where it's a totally different kind of industry, but still it would lead to suppression of competition in some way, the government argues.
So how are the companies involved here responding to those arguments from the administration?
Another similarity is both say that the DOJ doesn't understand their industries at all. In the book publishing case, there are kind of big five known book publishing houses, and two of them, of course, want to merge here. But in this case, they're saying that there are so many small players in the market now, in part thanks to Amazon, that there's going to be so much competition that that won't be something that will be a problem in this industry. In the healthcare case, they have offered to divest a big part of their company that they believe is horizontal, that does some claims editing, and they don't believe that the data gathering is something that they'll ever use to harm their competitors.
What does the Biden administration's pursuit of both of these cases tell us about its goals here?
Particularly because both cases are bringing forward legal theories that we haven't necessarily seen before, despite them being part of decades-old antitrust law, it really shows that the Biden administration is going to be keeping a close eye on these mergers. President Biden himself has said that this is something that he really wants to pay close attention to and really make sure that these things don't happen moving forward. And so it just really shows that they're going to be like pushing the envelope with legal theories that will be tested and potentially used in future cases.
And to that point, what would it mean for the administration to lose in one or both of these cases?
I posed this to a few people I spoke to for the story that we wrote, and they could lose them. They could lose the arguments potentially. But I think that you can't draw too much from a win or a loss necessarily in either one, because what they're bringing forward is kind of testing a theory. With that said, obviously that would make someone doing something similar and trying to do a merger and acquisition more similar feel more confident moving forward, like they would have a win in court for the exact same argument. But I think it's very clear that the Biden administration is moving forward aggressively to look closely at merger and acquisitions here.
Right. So what could this mean for future mergers and acquisitions if these cases go a certain way for the Biden administration?
Companies already have to show that they won't be harming essentially harming competitors or rivals or ultimately consumers in these industries. And I think they'll have to look closely at these deals if they are going to have an enforcement arm come down on them and really scrutinize their behavior. And I think that that could, you know, have ripple effects with companies that are attempting to put together for a merger or an acquisition.
That's Wall Street Journal National Legal Affairs reporter Erin Mulvaney. Erin, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And finally, lonely birthdays, canceled graduations, summer vacations turned staycations. Some big childhood milestones have fallen by the wayside in the past couple of years as families coped with the pandemic. Parents have had to say no to their kids for such a long time that now, our Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinsing says, they're making up for lost time by spending big.
Infinite Disney vacations, Universal Studios, people going overseas, even people who don't usually spend a lot of money on vacations told me they were splurging. You know, one dad told me, like, I've never spent $5,000 on a four-day vacation.
But conditioning out the big bucks make up for what's been lost.
One psychiatrist told me, you know, that parents really have to accept that even if they kind of, you know, pick something from their list of things that they missed and try to have a redo, like, you need to accept that it's not going to be exactly the same, no matter how much money or time, you know, you spend.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.